Hey, Sharnold.
Yeah, Zach.
I have a Marvel question. Are there any, like, seasonal warriors? Like a summer combatant or, like, a winter soldier, maybe?
Warning. This podcast contains extreme spoilers from Captain America Volume 5, Bucky the Winter Soldier, and Original Sin.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Doombots podcast. We're the Doombots. I'm Zach.
And I'm Sharnold.
And we're here to spoil some comics for you. They just really ruin them.
You had it right the first time.
What?
Spoil.
I think I said ruin them first.
No, spoil.
I really ruined this intro. Okay, look, we're going to fuck up these comics for you and make them unreadable. Is that right?
That's the basic idea,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool. Today, we're going to be apparently talking about someone called the Winter Soldier.
What a weird, obscure character that I bet no one has ever heard of.
Yeah, and I bet their origin story wasn't extensively examined in the MCU.
Nah.
MCU.
Not the MCU?
No, other MCU.
It should have been the Marvel movies. MM. Boom.
The MMU. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this moo. Moo. So we're going to talk about Winter Soldier.
Yeah, so if you guys are listening to this live, then last night was the first episode of the new show, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
If we are doing our timing and math right on that, which we might not be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just yeah.
That's a very true fact about us.
Just, yeah.
So I was talking to my dad about the show, and I realized that what is extremely obvious to me, who knows a lot, is not always obvious to people who are casual fans and don't know everything about everything.
That's really a nice way of phrasing what I thought you were going to say, which is, what's obvious to me is not as obvious to, like, dipshits who are morons, and then point at me with your eyes.
Yeah.
Hey, fuck you. Don't then follow it up with a yeah.
All right, so both Falcon and Bucky have had stints as Captain America.
Okay.
And in the comics.
Okay.
And so it seems very obvious to me that the TV show is going to be which one of them is going to be the new Cap. And that sort of power dynamic, strange struggle between them and the idea that both of them have about the legacy of Cap, which is bigger than them, and sort of a reluctance between them, but like some push and pull. Like, I don't know if you're good enough to be Cap, but I don't know if I'm good enough to be Cap, etc., etc.
But, I mean, didn't Cap just tell Falcon, you're Cap now?
Did he? Was that in one of the movies?
I mean, he hands him a shield, I think.
That's a pretty good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you what I know. Have you seen the movies?
Yes.
Than that.
See, I haven't seen Avengers 4. Like, I rewatched it as soon as it was released on DVD. But at this point, that was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I'm the same place. I haven't seen it since I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
Remember
so,
when those were a thing?
I do. Man, weird. Watching movies in theaters was fun.
Yeah, it was prohibitively expensive, though.
Yes.
Although, so is needing every single streaming service. Because there are 11,000 of them now, and they're all the same price, and it equals to all of the money.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Captain America gets old. At no point is he revealed to be a secret Nazi.
Not in the movies.
No, that's what I'm saying. And then he gives his shield to Falcon, and then is like, I'm old. I can die now. Which is a real weird message, but yeah. But then in the cinematic universe, it is also established in the Civil War installment, Captain America Civil War, that the Winter Soldier is responsible for Tony Stark's parent, for Howard Stark's death.
Right.
Is there anything about that in the comics?
No.
Okay, so that was made up for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Correct.
Okay. So instead of just randomly rambling about the things that I know that are unrelated to comics, why don't you, the expert in this situation,
talk about what I do know?
Yeah.
So basically, I want to dive a bit into the Winter Soldier's origin story and what the comics did, go a little bit deeper into that than what was done in the movies.
Okay.
And then I want to pivot and talk about the fucking weird-ass shit. Because you know I love the weird-ass shit.
Is there weird-ass shit?
Oh, there's weird-ass Winter Soldier shit.
See, because in my mind, Winter Soldier is sort of like the, I don't know, like their realism. Like
in a
like
way,
their
it is.
Gritty 70s.
Yes, so
noir,
that is why that comic was so good. It was Ed Brubaker and Steve Epting, and they were allowed to do a 50-issue complete run that they sort of knew where they were going the whole time. And there were some fill-in artists also. I want to give a shout out to them because they did some great work too. It wasn't Steve Epting on all 50. I should mention that because it's important to give credit
where
credit is due.
Most times we don't even credit the artist.
The artist at all.
And most of the time we also don't credit the writer.
Yeah.
In my mind, all of these comics just sort of exist in a vacuum.
Yeah.
That just spontaneously appeared.
So Brubaker is known for doing crime fiction. And this arc of Captain America is basically a spy thriller.
So that's why in Captain America Winter Soldier, it evoked that sort of 70s spy thriller aspect to
Absolutely,
it.
Yeah.
So that was sort of a callback to the source material in itself.
Yes, definitely. Okay. And I think that's one of the reasons that that comics run really stands the test of time as a quintessential Captain America story, not just because it created this Winter Soldier character, but because it sort of stands apart from a lot of other superhero comics, right? It's not the traditional good guy versus bad guy kind of stuff. It's deeper, and there's more twists and turns and surprises and spy thriller stuff.
Your standard run-of-the-mill superhero spy thriller stuff.
Exactly. So the arc starts with Red Skull being shot dead, and someone steals the cosmic cube from him.
Mm-hmm.
you mm-hmm'd on the cosmic cube
There's no relish on that. I just want us to make sure that I absolutely know what that is and that you do not need to explain it to me for what I'm sure would be the fifth time on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, see, I explained it to you in the Black Widow episode because that's when we did Steve as a Nazi.
Which has not aired yet.
It hasn't aired yet because they didn't release the movie,
so we didn't release
the episode. So, cosmic cube, reality altering magic power.
I mean, I figured from it being called the Cosmic Cube.
Yeah.
And also from it being Marvel, so reality warping is just sort of a
standard.
I think most items just warp reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a very low-powered Cosmic Cube.
Oh, there are multiple Cosmic Cubes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so this one is, like, it's not charged. And so the Red Skull's plan was
to... Oh, you mean
to...
literally it's, like, low on power. It's
yes.
not like just like not a powerful cube. It's just like the battery has
yes,
been
it's been all used
down.
Up.
Okay.
Yeah. So his plan is to set off three bombs and use those deaths to power the cosmic cube so that he can then have ultimate power.
I'm assuming that death powers the cosmic cube?
You know, that's never really been clear in any story other than this one issue where Red Skull says that's his plan.
It would be great if he didn't know. And he's like, I don't know, fucking deaths maybe. I mean, I'm probably going to kill people anyway. We might as well try it.
Yeah. Or if he got away with the bombs and the cosmic cube just didn't power. And he's like, damn it.
Fuck this noise then. Okay.
Oh, you had to pee on it. Oh, that's what you had to do.
Oh, man.
So anyways, you know, there's the whole spy thriller, you know, mystery, who killed him, let's hunt him down, and that sort of thing. And it turns out to have been the Winter Soldier, who is Bucky, who...
So the Winter Soldier shot
Red Skull. Yeah,
okay.
And stole the Cosmic Cube for his Russian handler, who in this case was not Robert Redford, but was a guy named Alexander Lukin.
I would like to establish that in the movie, it is not Robert Redford, the actor. It is a character Robert Redford is playing. I just feel that's important that we're not...
Are you sure?
I just feel it's important that we are not implying in any universe that Robert Redford is a international terrorist.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure. No, I'll never be sure.
He's not a terrorist. He is the terrorist's handler.
Well, that is it still a terrorist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charles Manson didn't kill anybody. He still fucking died in prison for murder.
Yeah.
Again, also, I would like to say, I'm not comparing Robert Redford to Charles Manson. I need this clear. I respect Robert Redford.
I respect Charles Manson.
No, don't say that out loud.
I respect
you think it in your head
all of
at the
God's
most.
Living creatures, Zach.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, let's move on as if this is going really well.
So Lucan's village was destroyed during World War II during a fight with the invaders.
The
Do
Nazis?
You know who the invaders are? No.
The Hydra?
No. So the invaders, that's a weird name for a good guy superhero
Wait,
team.
Hold on. Hold on. World War II.
Yeah, the invaders are Captain America's superhero team from World War II.
Why are they fighting the Russians?
They were fighting in Russia against the Red Skull, and that ended up leading to the destruction of this whole village.
Oh, okay.
So he's...
I thought just Cap went rogue and started fighting our allies during World War II.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
Yeah, no, okay.
So look, when it's really cold and snowy, sometimes you can't tell the difference between a Russian and a German.
Oh, my God.
There's a joke set up in there somewhere, but I'm not sure what it is.
It's just all... As you
a
once...
Russian and a German
nope,
walk
stop,
into Captain
stop.
America's bar.
As you once said, it's not a charnel joke if you feel clean after hearing it. And I just don't think that we need to hear what this setup is going to lead to. Okay.
So the invaders are Captain America, Bucky, the Human Torch, Toro, and Namor. They are the superheroes of World War II. You didn't know Namor was one of the superheroes from World War II?
We are so far into this podcast and we have not addressed the origin story yet.
So there's a superhero fight in Russia during World War II. Lucan's village gets destroyed, so he has this large vendetta against all superpowered people.
Okay.
And he's raised by the general who is in charge of all of Russia's superhuman project stuff.
Okay.
And so he has access to Bucky. And that part of the origin is basically exactly like in the movie.
So Bucky is believed to be missing in action during the war.
Mm-hmm. Killed in action.
Yeah. But he wasn't killed.
Right, because the Russians salvaged him.
Salvaged him and turned him into the Winter Soldier.
Right.
Now, the Winter Soldier, is the term for him because of him being in hiding until a certain amount of time? Or?
You know, I don't know the origin of the name. The first person to say the name Winter Soldier is Nick Fury. And it's based upon the myths.
Okay.
Like no one knew if this assassin named the Winter Soldier was real or not, but they would blame certain deaths on this mysterious Winter Soldier that nobody actually knew about, but then it turns out it is Bucky and he is real and he's not a myth of the intelligence agency.
Now, was the reveal that it was Bucky a big deal in the comics?
Huge deal. Huge okay. deal. Bucky...
So they introduced Winter Soldier before introducing that it was Bucky.
Correct.
Okay.
So Bucky is, or was supposed to be, one of the characters that you're not allowed to bring back to life. There was like this unspoken rule.
Because it's such
rule.
An important part of Cap's origin.
Yes. Okay. Like Uncle Ben for Spider-Man, right? Bringing him back just like changes that dynamic.
Yes, fundamentally. It would be like if Batman's parents had been in a coma the whole time.
Yes.
And then they came and he didn't know it. And they came back and he's like, well, I've been doing this whole Bat shit. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay.
But Brubaker came up with such a great story and such a great character to turn Bucky into that they did it. And I think it worked really well. And one of the major retcons that I think worked really well here, you know, Bucky was a kid in World War II, Cap's sidekick, just kind of running around with him.
Was he like an actual child?
Yes. Like 15 or so.
How did he...
When the comics originally came out, it's because the comics were written for younger people. It was believed that having younger sidekicks would generate more sales. So
sure.
Bucky was created for the same reason that Robin was created.
But you still didn't just get to go to World War II if you were 15. You had to at least lie about your age.
So his dad was a military guy who had died, and so Bucky became the base mascot. And then one day he stumbled upon Captain America's true identity, so he got to come along with him on his shenanigans.
That is horribly irresponsible.
So what that has been retconned into is that Bucky had special, like, stealth infiltration training, and that because he was young and small but had been raised military, was so good at this that he was able to do, quote, what Captain America couldn't, and he would do more of the murdery parts of the missions while Captain America was doing like the front line, ho ho, lead the soldiers with the shield.
So he's
kind
like
of
a
stuff.
Secret 14-year-old murderer.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's better.
But it adds a level of at least making sense to why this child was allowed to be there.
Yeah, but it makes Captain America seem real dumb.
Why dumb?
Oh, he's just my sidekick. Like, yeah, I'm just your sidekick. Well, and then while Captain America's off, just fucking stabbing people. And oh no, I'm just sidekicking over here. Those guys were dead when I sidekicked into here.
Cap knew that's what.
And
Bucky
he was just
about.
Okay with some 14-year-old murderer hanging out with him
during the war. Yes, Captain America, even in the movies, did a decent amount of actual killing during the war.
He did not sanction a 14-year-old. Bucky ain't 14 in the fucking movies.
That's true, yeah. Oh, and they didn't know each other. That was another thing in the movies, is that they had grown up as kids together.
Yeah.
They met in the war, in the comics.
Oh, okay. I mean, it makes more sense. Their friendship and their connection makes more sense in the movies, introducing them that way, instead of in the horrifying way the comics have decided to go with this. But okay, anyway. So the Winter Soldier comes.
And so, you know, there's this whole thing where Steve won't believe that it's Bucky, and Fury is like, oh, it's definitely Bucky. And
how does Fury know at this point? Just the intelligence?
He's a super spy. He does that sort of stuff. Okay, yeah. Sure. Eventually what happens is that Bucky is trying to move the cosmic cube for Lucan, and Cap intercepts him, and they have this big fight. And then they do sort of have the moment that they had in Captain America 2, where Cap, like, stands down and says, you know me, you're not going to shoot me. And then Bucky does shoot him. But in that moment, Steve is able to, like, juke and grab the cube, and he uses the cube to make Bucky remember. And so that's where his memories come back in the comics.
Did he have to pee on the cube?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a jellyfish thing. Cosmic cube and jellyfish thing.
Exactly.
I should have asked this earlier, but what, like, time frame is this being published in? Like, what years were these?
Oh, this was it started in 2004.
Oh, this was relatively recent. For some reason, I thought the Winter Soldier line was from the 80s or something.
No, 2004. So Bucky actually getting his memories back was, I want to say, about 2006. And then Cap dying was Civil War, which I think was 2007. And then, you know, Cap died at Civil War, and that's why Bucky then became Captain America for a while. Was after that.
Is Winter Soldier in the Civil War saga? I just read it, and I was so mad about so much of it. I just erased a whole bunch of it from my memory.
So I don't remember him being in the book at all. At the time, he was off the grid, working for Fury. So he had his memories back, but he wasn't willing to face Steve yet because he had all this guilt for all the murders that he had done. So he was just kind of doing spy work for Fury.
And wasn't Fury not part of S.H.I.E.L.D. at this point, right?
Fury had just left S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah.
Yeah, because Maria Hill was in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D.
During
Civil
War. Yeah.
And she was the worst.
Yes.
Just like in the movies and all the other comics.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the basic Winter Soldier origin. It's very good. Oh, and so then he's Captain America for a while, and
like you do, like the hermit crabs that all these Marvel characters are.
And then Captain America comes back to life, and Cap is like, you know what, Bucky, you can stay being Cap. And Steve Rogers takes over S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while Bucky stays as Captain America. Then during a crossover called Fear Itself, Bucky Cap gets killed, and that's when Steve Cap goes back to being Captain America.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so Bucky dies.
Yeah, except he didn't really this time.
Of course.
He went back into hiding so that he could do more of his, like, secret behind-the-scenes spy murder.
His sidekick stabbery?
Yeah.
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 Like he used to do in the war when he was 14?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's the life that he knows.
Yeah, because our government... Okay, you know, whatever.
Not our government.
Yes!
The government from the 40s. It's different people.
Same government. You can't do that. Okay. So, that's the basis. So, it sounds like little side bits here and there, you know, notwithstanding, that the movies were fairly consistent with the comic line.
I think it was some of the best adaptation that I have ever seen. Any of the things that they changed, I think, just kind of made it work better for the movies, like their history together, and then not using the cosmic cube as part of it. I think were both very good twists, but his basic story as the Russian assassin who goes in and out of hibernation is the same.
Although I will say that there is a huge difference in that, narratively speaking, in that Lucan didn't work for Hydra.
No, he did not. And
in fact, actively hated Hydra, I assume.
Yes, well, so the fun part that gets all sort of extra more twisty-turny is that, so the Red Skull was on the phone with Lucan when he got shot and killed, and holding the Cosmic Cube also, and he put his mind inside Lucan's body. And
over
so,
the phone.
With the Cosmic Cube.
But whatever, that's... Okay.
So they're sharing a body, and the two minds, like, duel, and there are, like, multiple different plots, and there are Skull's plots and Lucan's plots, and they combine, and sometimes they're working together, and sometimes they're against each other.
You're saying it's good that none of that insane nonsense was in the movie?
I do think that was better for the movies.
Yeah. Because it's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, comics are allowed to be crazy.
Okay.
What?
Nothing.
What? You're what right. is wrong no, with two right. people sharing one body?
No, like, in the grand scheme of things, nothing. I feel like me having a problem with that is the same with you having a problem with hell being Vegas. Like, it's just, it's a pretty arbitrary line in the sand that I'm drawing that I have not drawn a million times before that other things have passed. But again, it's that, like, in my mind, the Winter Soldier has been more of a straightforward, like, mercenary, brainwashing, no magic kind of thing. And I'm wrong. I'm very wrong about that.
No, for the most part, that is true.
Okay.
Except for two minor uses of the Cosmic Cube.
Okay. So the rest of his story and the things that you've done, the Cosmic Cube is the weird thing you were teasing at the beginning of the
No.
So it gets weirder than the... Oh, yeah. Putting his brain into another guy over the phone.
Oh, yeah. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. So, Winter Soldier
yeah.
becomes the man on the wall.
Well, that just sounds like another, like, mercenary. The man on the wall was, like a Cold War thing, right? Like, the man on the wall.
It was, yeah. So, it's interesting that that's the name that they use for this particular thing.
Do they go back to the Cold War? Is there time travel or something?
No. He protects Earth from aliens. It's his job.
Hold on.
With a gun that can shoot through space. And I'm like thousands of miles through space.
Oh, not just... Because, to be fair, all guns shoot through space.
It's true, yeah.
What?
Interplanetary okay. gun.
Hold on.
No.
Fuck you. He defends Earth from aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't there better people... more suited for that job in this universe than the guy who's got a metal arm and was asleep for 50 years?
Yeah, so let's dig into this. I love Jason Aaron.
Oh, it's Jason Aaron? Okay, I get it now.
As a writer, I think Jason Aaron is generally very, very good. All right? His stuff that he's doing on Avengers.
That was the We Did Our Avengers episode with him.
Amazing. He also is responsible for female Thor. And that
right.
magnum opus of Thor
I loved how he
is
was
incredible.
Like, I was reading about Jason Aaron later, because now you always have to make sure that the person you're like advocating for isn't some sort of horrible monster
yeah.
or a huge racist.
Yeah.
But I loved his whole thing on when he did Thor. I don't know what the name of the storyline is when it was...
There wasn't really a single story because, okay. I mean, it lasted, I don't know, like 50 issues or so. It was
but
really
is it
long
Jane
run. It's Jane, yeah, Jane Foster.
I love when he was like, this isn't Lady Thor or Mrs. Thor or like Thorette. It's fuck. This is just who Thor. It's just Thor. Although I love that. I will say, doesn't make any sense because Thor is not a job title. It's specifically
right.
a person.
It'd be like if Bucky became Steve Rogers rather
yeah.
than becoming
Captain
America.
Yeah. But look, that's not what we're... We'll talk about Thor.
We'll do an episode eventually.
Jane Foster Thor, not Lady Thor.
Probably later. When that movie comes out.
So in eight to 12 years.
Something like that, yeah. Jason Aaron, I love him.
Super fun.
One of the problems about writing for Marvel Comics is this sort of conveyor belt need to continually pump out new stories and trying to continually come out with the next event, coming up with something that is supposed to matter, but is able to kind of change the status quo enough for people to be like, oh, that was important, but not really upset the status quo because everything always stays the same, you know, and I don't think that they always nail it.
I will say this, just on that point. First of all, I remember you vaguely saying that there was a time in which Marvel was like, we're not going to do big tentpole crossovers anymore. And then that lasted like a week and a half.
Yeah, that was the heroic age. That was when Captain America was in charge of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, cool. But if you think about it, the proliferation of super-powered individuals who are either good or evil or whatever... Every week, there really would be a cataclysm-level event that would require these big things to happen. Like, if you were somebody who could, like, set nukes off with your mind, and you happened to want to destroy the Earth because you were crazy, I could see, with the increase in powers, there always being a threat to the world, and always... So that makes more sense to me than in movies where it's like, oh, this is going to be the end of the world. Well, I'm going to take this on by myself. No, well, no. Like, the best line, and we've talked about it before, the best line in Ant-Man is, you know, we should call the Avengers.
Yes.
Like, right. Yes, you fucking should call the Avengers. That makes a lot of sense. And his get-around was like, I don't want Stark to have this technology. Yeah. But, like, call the Avengers. Let's still do it. Let's still do it. Let's do it for all the things. They're really not doing anything else. Let's do it for all the things. You know, like...
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. The problem, I don't think, is the fact that these events happen. I think the problem is coming up with good ideas for the event.
The event.
Yes.
Okay,
so Jason Aaron did an event called Original Sin. That I am not a huge fan of.
Okay.
It was the one where Nick Fury whispered something into Thor that made him unworthy, and that's why he dropped his hammer on the moon, which is eventually what led to Jane Foster picking up the hammer and becoming Thor.
You said all of that like that was something that I was supposed to remember.
Well, that's what Original Sin is known for, because that was like its big moment. Oh, it's when the Watcher died and Nick Fury stole his eyes.
Okay, I remember that. I remember Nick Fury stealing the eye of the Watcher. I don't remember us talking about Thor.
I don't think we mentioned it at the time. So the other thing that we found out during this crossover, every Nick Fury story that we have ever seen was a lie. Turns out that since the very beginning, he's been an LMD.
What?
LMD is life model decoy. It's basically just a robot that thinks that it is that person. And those are a known thing. Like, frequently in Nick Fury stories, we'll have a juke where it's like, it turns out that was an LMD. But it turns out Nick Fury has always been an LMD. And the real Nick Fury is really old, and he lives on the moon, and he is the man on the wall, and his job is to protect Earth from aliens, and he does that by murdering any aliens that talk about coming to Earth. And this retcon doesn't make any sense because so many aliens come to Earth all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
and
all
also,
the time.
A bunch of other reasons it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Just make a new character, the man on the wall.
I didn't like Original Sin. I don't know how many times I'm going to have to say
it. Jason Aaron's a really fun writer.
You know, 99% of the stuff he does, I'm so on board with. But this one just did not work for me.
I'm not liking this.
And so this is also where the man on the wall character comes from. So
it's a job position.
It's a job position. Now that Nick Fury has taken the Watcher's eye and has to become the new Watcher, someone has to take over his position as the man on the wall, and he picks Bucky.
But wait, so hold on.
I'm holding, Zach.
Nick Fury stole the Watcher's eye.
Mm-hmm.
He put it into his eye?
Yeah.
Like his eye socket?
Yeah.
His human eye socket.
Yeah.
But was that Nick Fury who stole the eye, the LMD?
That's the only real Nick Fury. Every other Nick Fury we've ever seen on planet Earth has not been real.
What Nick Fury whispered to Thor?
The real human Nick Fury who had stolen the eye.
Who was a bad guy?
Ish.
But still protecting Earth from aliens.
Right. He was being a little too extreme about it with all the murders. Nick Fury isn't technically the Watcher. He's the Unseen. And he is actually chained to the moon from where he's, his punishment for killing the Watcher is to watch and not be allowed to intervene.
But isn't that what the Watcher was already supposed to do?
Yeah, he had to take over the Watcher's role. But he didn't become a member of Uatu's species, right?
Got it. Also, like, didn't the Watcher always intervene anyway?
All the time. Okay. All the time. Okay. It's like his MO. It's like, I'm not supposed to do this, tinker, tinker, tinker. And what does that have to do with the Winter Soldier?
All of this is tangents. Maddening.
All of this was just trying to set up what the man on the wall means.
Well, then you could have just said he has to stand on the moon and watch for aliens.
Yeah, but
this
I needed
all
context.
Better stay in the podcast.
We needed some context. So then there's a miniseries called Bucky the Winter Soldier, which is about his journey as the man on the wall. And you would think the promise of the premise would be Bucky versus aliens.
I mean, that's literally the promise of the premise.
Instead, we get some bananas-ass crazy shit.
That's already crazy!
It does involve aliens. Let's start by taking a look at some of the art. It's like...
Okay.
It's like non-linear. Like, it's kind of linear, but...
Oh, that's very difficult to follow. I like it as art. I don't like it necessarily as a narrative structure because I literally don't know what's happening at any panel. Okay, here's the thing. Here's my caveat for it. It looks great. Like, if I just wanted to look at cool art, I would look at that art. But if I wanted to read a linear narrative, that art would be difficult.
Yeah. So add on to that, that the story is about an illicit drug that gives you all sorts of trippy hallucinations. It is also about an alien who is a telepath who can get inside your mind and do weird things on the mindscape. It is also about Loki, who does illusions.
Where did Loki come from?
I'll explain in a minute, but it's also about Loki who does illusions. And it also has alternate reality, multiple dimension versions of characters. You put all of that together in a soup and you never know what is happening.
Wow. You know, I'll tell you, it reminds me of the story I read about, I think it was Grant Morrison who did Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
And Grant Morrison's Arkham Asylum story was already very Grant Morrison-y. Like, more so even than normal with him. It was very, very incorporeal, very, like, strange. And then you add, I think it was Dave McKean is the artist who did that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, it's just incomprehensible. And the art is beautiful to look at, but you just do not know what is happening on any individual page.
Yes.
And Grant Morrison actually said later, if I'm remembering correctly, that he not regretted, but he thinks that it didn't serve the story.
At the time, you think wonky-ass story, wonky-ass art is
right.
is going to complement that, but instead it sort of complicates it.
For sure, and I think if you're telling a story that is as narratively dense and confusing as possible, if you add on layers of consistent visual obfuscation, that it's just going to make it... I think you just said a soup earlier.
A soup, yeah, it's a
yeah,
soup
I think it's
of
just
what
a soup,
is happening.
A soup of images. In the way that if you try to eat a soup, there's no linear way to eat a soup. You're just like, well, this is just a big bowl of stuff, and I guess I'll just dive in wherever and hope that it tastes good.
Yeah.
I think a soup is a great way to describe that. So those panels you showed me just now, which I'll show,
we'll put them up, yeah.
Those are not of the hallucinatory parts?
No, I mean, it's all of it together.
Okay.
So it's impossible to tell which parts are hallucinations, which parts are dreams, which parts are Loki illusions, and which part are actually happening.
See, I thought maybe it was like super, super normal structure and then goes into whatever that surrealist imagery was.
No,
that
all of it is like that, which is why it's
you
hard to
this?
Tell what's going on.
You read the whole thing?
Yeah. I, you know, when all was said and done, I have a basic sense of what happened, and I can summarize it to you.
You know, I always love that idea of when I've finished reading a media thing, my feeling at the end is, well, I have turned all of the pages. There are no more pages for me to turn. And things happened.
Yeah.
In an order.
I don't want to say they happened in an order, but I will say that they happened.
They did happen in an order. I don't know if it was the order that I read them in, but there are definitely, I will say that there are definitely no more pages in this book. So I have finished it.
That's exactly how I felt at the end of this.
I've read several comics, a couple of books like that. Yeah. Where it's just like, well, that was a bunch of words. Bunch of words and images, and I don't have any more of those words or images. So now I am able to move on to the next thing. Okay.
So basically, instead of it being Bucky versus aliens, it's Bucky versus alien. He goes to one planet, and the whole 11 issues takes place on the one planet.
Isn't he supposed to stay on the moon? You're not the man on the wall. Leave the wall.
Bucky's not good at following orders. He does his own behind-the-scenes assassination stuff.
Well, it's a good thing we made him the man on the wall. Who's
choice Fury needed
that?
Someone he could trust.
Isn't Fury evil at this point, though?
Yeah, what is evil? He protects the Earth. Does a little murder make you evil? If they're not even human.
Okay, we're not even fucking down that road.
So
I don't want to hear you defend dog torture or whatever the fuck that was going to be.
So Bucky is going to this planet to assassinate their queen. And instead he falls in love with their queen because they had a dream together.
Oh boy. And... Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh boy.
They shared a dreamscape.
Uh-huh.
And this planet's main crop is this drug called Ilum. Which is what does, like, the super trippy trips.
That's a fucking great name for a drug.
Yeah.
That is a fucking great name for a drug.
And it turns out that Loki wants to get his hands on the Ilum.
Okay.
His thing is that by distributing the Ilum to his followers, he can... There's a thing in the comics about the gods... that is touched on that I don't know if it's ever really been codified explicitly, but the more people you have that believe in and pray to you, the more powerful you are.
This has specifically been addressed by Santa Claus.
You're right.
In our Christmas episode.
It was.
Yeah. Specifically addressed in the Santa Claus episode.
So basically, that's why Loki wants the Ilum, is he's going to give it to a bunch of his followers so that they like him more, so that he can get extra good powers.
Can't he just make people see what they want to see?
Yeah, but, like, this will do it better and easier for him. Right? Instead of, like, having to magic every single person, he just throws drugs. Yeah.
Well, don't get me wrong. I will follow anyone who just throws drugs. But if it's a crop, can't he just buy it from them? Isn't it like an export?
They don't sell it because they're a pacifist and they don't really have exports and they're all hippy-dippy and they don't really have economy. And
so can't they just give him the drugs?
Well, no, because he's evil.
Is he evil at this point in the comics?
Let's add another bit of complication here, shall we? No.
Why not?
No, at this point in the comics, he is actually explicitly a good guy. He is a young Loki who has recently been reborn and is explicitly a good guy. The Loki from this comic is actually an evil old Loki from the future who has come back in time to mess with his younger self. And part of that plan involves getting these drugs.
You go fuck yourself.
I wasn't going to mention that part because it's not super important, but, you know, as long as we're going down the crazy road. So the other thing that happens is that a future version of Bucky and a future version of Bucky's son also come back in time.
Together or just
no,
coincidentally?
Separately.
I was joking!
So the future version of Bucky wants to make sure that the present version of Bucky falls in love with the queen instead of killing the queen because he's happy in the future, they're together, yada yada. The future version of his son is pretending to be Crossbones, one of Bucky's major villain characters.
Why?
So that the book can have a Crossbones in it? I don't know. Doesn't matter. You're looking at me like it's important. It's not important.
So the book can have a Crossbones in it. like that's a completely acceptable phrase.
Just like a Professor Xavier book would want to have a Magneto character in it, and a Wolverine book would want to have a Sabretooth character in it, a Bucky book wants to have a Crossbones in it.
Crossbones is his nemesis?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize that part.
He is. He was all involved in the whole Winter Soldier origin stuff. He was working for Lucan at the same time, and they crossed paths and fought a lot.
Okay.
So the Bucky's son had come back because...
dressed as his mortal enemy.
Yeah, because in more future, Bucky leaves to try to stop a war to save some people and instead dies and their whole planet dies. And so he's mad and he like wants to prove to everybody that war never ends. And so he's just going to be all murdery and evil. Again, it's a very... abstract, hard to give a linear narrative to story, but this is the basic idea.
Is Bucky's son the child of this alien queen too?
Yeah. Theoretically, okay. I think. It's not quite explicit.
Hold on. Theoretically it is, or you theoretically think that it is?
Theoretically, I do think that it is. Yes.
Oh, boy.
Oh, and we should say, just because proper nouns are nice, the name of the planet is Merzibo, and the name of the Quinn is Ventolin. And that is...
I am Queen Ventolin of Merzibo!
That is MERZBOW. Merzibo.
It's like a murderous gazebo.
Yeah. And at the end, in order to, like, set things right, old Bucky and old Crossbones both fly into a black hole.
Old Crossbones? Is it real Crossbones?
Oh, no. Crossbones, who is actually Bucky's son from the future. By old, I mean elderly. I should distinguish between... previous and elderly.
It's not going to help me at all.
The elderly Bucky and the elderly Crossbones take their ships and collide with each other in a black hole because Crossbones is trying to go back to his home dimension and elderly Bucky is trying to stop him. And so.
And normal Bucky is just on the planet banging the queen?
Well, at the time, he's in the giant space gun.
Wait, what?
Remember, he's got a space gun that can shoot through space?
I remember that!
That's all part of Loki's plan, is there was a bomb on the space gun, so that's where Bucky had to go, so that Loki could get to the drugs.
Am I tired or high? Because
no!
I don't remember you telling me any of that.
It's a bananas-ass crazy story!
But you just said that as if that was something you just got through telling me, and I don't think you did!
There are no more pages in this book, Zach!
Holy shit.
I want to make sure that you have the same feeling that I did at the end of our journey together.
Look, it's the back cover. I'm done now. I'm not going back in.
And that's what I really hope they're going to be doing with the Falcon Winter Soldier series.
I promise you they won't.
You want to spin that wheel of segments, or is there something else that we need to clarify here?
I just want to try to recap what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
Winter Soldier was really Bucky Barnes, who died during World War II, but was salvaged by Lucan, who was getting revenge against superpowered people for the destruction of his village. But as he had the Winter Soldier reactivated as a mercenary, he kills the Red Skull. The Red Skull is holding a Chaos Emerald? No, that's from Sonic. What is it? A Cosmic Cube. That's from Sonic the Hedgehog. Cosmic Cube. And then, because the Red Skull has a Cosmic Cube, he puts his brain into Lucan, so Lucan's sort of also Red Skull. And then, none of that, I don't know how any of that plays out, but eventually Winter Soldier meets Cap, and Cap and him fight, and then Cap breaks his programming with the Cosmic Cube.
Yep.
And then they become friends again. And
yeah, takes a while, but yeah.
Yeah, and the Winter Soldier's a quasi-good guy. And then... the real Nick Fury, who isn't the life model decoy Nick Fury everyone has always interacted with forever, but the real old Nick Fury, who lives on the moon, kills the Watcher, who is always more than watching, and steals his eye. And that traps him to become the Unseen. But that means he cannot any longer be the man on the wall who has been protecting the Earth from aliens on the moon.
Except doing a real bad job.
Really, because they're always there. I mean, like, the Kree and the Skrull and all of that are a threat all the time, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So then Nick Fury has to call the only person he trusts, which is just a dude with a metal arm, who then takes up the mission of being the man on the wall on the moon and immediately leaves the moon to go fuck a space queen. And then,
well, he doesn't leave to fuck her. He leaves to kill her and ends up fucking her. Like any good spy story.
Okay, okay. And then old evil Loki from the future comes back to stop good reborn new Loki. And then also Winter Soldier's future older self comes back to tell him, make sure you bang the Space Queen. And then his son with that Space Queen, which means he did, comes back to fight him dressed as his mortal enemy for some reason. Then the Winter Soldier is trapped in a space gun with a bomb put there by Loki. No idea how that ends, but I'm guessing he eventually mates with the Space Queen of It is a murder gazebo. Mer-zebo.
Good.
Queen Tesseract of Mer-zebo, or the fuck her name is. Queen
Ventolin.
Ventolin. And then that's it? That's it, the end of it? So at the end, they go back to their own times.
Yeah. At the end of it, the queen says the, like, the secret spy catchphrase that has been going around is "the lost glove is happy." And
what?
and she and Bucky are holding hands, and he finally asks, "What does that mean?"
Yeah.
And she says, "Do you really want me to tell you?" And he says, "I guess not."
And then the book is over and there are no more pages. Oh.
Let's spin. We gotta spin. Yeah, okay. We gotta spin.
I'm sorry. I'm just spent. Okay.
I'll spin it.
Okay, okay, you gotta spin. Oh, this is a new one. Okay, is it called Who Said It?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That's a vague name.
All right, so you know how we've got three Captain Americas. We've got Steve Rogers, we've got Sam Wilson the Falcon, and we've got Bucky.
Oh, okay. And you're going to name a quote from them?
I'm going to read some Captain America quotes, and you're going to try to figure out which Captain America said it. Here's the first one. "The hordes of Hydra, no matter how many times I face them, no matter how many times I hear their cultish slogans, I am always shocked at how many of them there actually are. They crawl out of the woodwork like termites."
Okay, so this is either Captain America, the Falcon, right?
The Falcon as Captain America.
As Captain America. Or Bucky? Or
as Captain America.
As Captain. Okay.
All of these quotes were said by Captain America.
But, okay.
But the question is, which Captain America? Because there are three.
Got it. Okay, so my answer to all of them is I have no fucking clue. But I mean, the termites thing, I'm going to say that one is Bucky.
No, that was Steve Rogers.
Ah, okay.
All right. "Even before I met him, before I became his partner, the guy was already a legend. It took me weeks to get used to the idea that he considered me an equal, a part of the team. But before I realized it, we were like brothers."
That's Falcon.
That is Bucky.
What the fuck? Okay.
All right.
Who was he talking about? Cap'n?
He was talking about Cap, yeah.
Okay. Back in World War II when he was going around stabbing people as a 14-year-old?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
"Because Captain America is not just for the good days. He can't be. I can't be. If Captain America can't stand for the dream on the very worst day when America is fallen, then there is no Captain America. Because our worst day is only where we start from, where we rise from. And if the man in the flag is too special to fall and rise and struggle with the rest, then God help us all. If I've got to work harder now, prove me more, that's always true. And that's a weight I'm proud to carry."
Well, that's some self-righteous Steve Rogers shit right there.
It's Falcon.
What the fuck?
All right, last one.
None of these have been about metal arms or flying at all.
And that's really the only way that you can distinguish between the three.
Okay.
All right. "But there's more to being Captain America than being the best fighter in the room. There's more to it than being able to throw the shield. You'd know that if you knew Steve. You're very good at winning, but what are you like at losing?" When was the last time you were beaten? When was the last time you tasted defeat? How long did it take you to get back up? That's the trick. That's the secret. It's not about how well you fight. It's about what you're fighting for.
Good God, does he always talk this much during his fights?
Yes.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it's Steve Rogers. Even though he says his own name, I'm going to say that one's Steve Rogers.
That is actually Falcon and Bucky going back and forth as they talk to one of their villains.
Oh my God.
Which I threw in there just to show that there is often no distinguishable difference between the three of their voices.
I mean, to be fair, though, they are not Winter Soldier, Falcon, and Captain America.
That's
they're
right. They're
all just Captain America.
Yeah.
So maybe your entire inner monologue changes when you
Take up the shield. Yeah.
You just throw the shield and you're like, what the fuck was I even talking about? There's so many words. I got punched like 8 times during that monologue.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that all the quotes?
That's all the quotes.
That doesn't really clarify anything for me, but it was really neat.
I don't think clarity was the goal.
really Well, as we've said many times, and now in relation to this podcast, there are no more words. We have turned the page. So thank you guys for joining us. You can check us out on doombotspod.com. We're on Instagram and Twitter at doombotspod, on basically all social media. I think we even have a Pinterest that we've probably never updated.
No, we've updated it like 3 or 4 times.
I'll believe that when I see it. I've never looked at our own Pinterest. You can email us, doombotspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know what stories you're interested in hearing more about. You know, I like to throw out stuff that I think is wacky, crazy, and fun. We want to know what you want to hear about so that we can talk about those things.
One of the things, this might be something you guys are interested in, you are, please let us know. Mahershala Ali has been cast in the new Blade. It's going to be part of the MCU, which means they're also bringing vampires into the MCU. And I'm really, really think we should do a Blade episode. I don't know if you know anything about Blade very much.
He's the guy with the swords.
Okay, well, I'll be doing the Blade episode then. Although you're not wrong. Also, if there's anything that we either got wrong or that we didn't touch on that you think would be fun or something interesting.
Yeah, if for some reason this podcast left you with follow-up questions, I don't know how that could be possible. But
I promise you, we won't have answers for this particular comic. So thank you for joining us this week. And we hope you guys will join us next time when we're talking about, what is it again?
We're going to talk about how Deadpool became the king of the monsters.
Okay. Wait, what? Monsters?
Like, rah, monster, rah.
Where were the monsters?
Oh, Staten Island.